Welcome to IdeaGen TV, IdeaGen Hollywood, inaugural presentation with guest host Stephen Tingus. Stephen, welcome.
Thanks, George.
What an exciting day. What an exciting moment. What an exciting opportunity to hear from you as the inaugural guest host of IdeaGen Hollywood.
Thank you.
You know, Stephen, it's an especially important time right now with everything happening in the world. And, you know, at IdeaGen, we bring together leaders and luminaries, artists and athletes around topics like the global goals of the United Nations, those 17 broad global goals that are helping to change the world. We're in less than 10 years to achieve the goals by 2030. And the issues and the topics that you're going to be bringing forth with IdeaGen Hollywood, including your special guest today, is incredibly important. So we want to welcome you to IdeaGen Hollywood's inaugural broadcast as guest host, Stephen Tingus. Take it away.
Thank you, George. It's a great honor to represent Hollywood and the work that we're doing on diversity and inclusion. I want to thank my inaugural guests, Academy, Tony, Emmy winner, Ms. Viola Davis, and her equally talented, wonderful human being, Julius Tendon, that is the president of their company, Juvie Productions. Let me be honest, I met Julius 6 years ago, and I've never met Viola, but we're all the same age, and I watch their projects over the years. I can't wait until tomorrow's final episode of How to Get a Wage of Burger, and the work that she, Pete, Betsy, and of course my friend Shonda has done for topics that are very important. So with that, I'd like to start my interview questions to Viola and to Julius. Viola, I want to know, what made you interested in acting? Was it a childhood dream, or did you enter the profession because you felt the need to focus on issues that we are so passionate about?
Well, you know, I definitely went into acting because I felt that I was good at it. I felt that it would get me out of my life. And I wanted to get out, you know, right. I wanted to find something that I was passionate about that, right, you know, would make me jump out of bed in the morning. And when I saw Miss Cicely Tyson, an autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, when I was six or seven, I thought, that is what I want to do. I definitely did not start off wanting to change the world. I didn't have a concept of that. That's something that's way more abstract that came much later in my life.
Right. And Julius, what about you? Because you're the powerful duo in Hollywood. What lit your candle about acting?
Well, you know, I mean, it all started for me with poetry, actually. I mean, I started with poetry, and, you know, teachers always encouraged me, said, you know, wow, you really have a great command with your voice. And I was just a seventh grader at the time, and I never had really thought about it that much, but I always loved poetry. So I started with poetry, and I learned the I Have a Dream speech. And after the I Have a Dream speech, then I felt like it's kind of like, you know, because that's a performance that Dr. King gave. And then I learned that, and that really influenced me. And that started my acting career. Uh-huh. And so I just loved the spoken word and then got into it and just do it ever since.
So, Viola, was there anyone in your early adult years that really influenced you or supported you in developing the craft?
Absolutely. Too many to name. Mostly teachers. A lot of times they were, a lot of them were theater teachers. Ron uh-huh. Stetson when I was 14, Mr. Yates at Central Falls High uh-huh. School. I mean, when you're coming from a situation of poverty like I do, you right. need a lot of ropes. You right. need a lot of people who sort of are masters at what they do and right. that could show you the way. And I had people every step of the way that just informed my work, my craft, made me better. But I was open to it also. And it does require that also.
And it does. Openness. It requires a lot of dedication and self-sacrifice to really ensure that you develop the foundation for the work.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Only, and yeah. And especially because you're in a profession that is reaped in deprivation. You know, people only hear the stories of celebrities, but there are millions of actors out there. And a lot of them are in the union. And we have a 95% unemployment rate at any given time.
Yes.
The actors that you see working on a very small percentage of it. So it requires a lot of faith, a lot of dedication, a lot yes. of hard work.
You know, that leads me into my other question. We all know that you have both sacrificed. We're all the same age. And since the Oscars so white sort of effort to really talk about not only actors that are African America, but also people, actors with disabilities. As you know, because I know Julius mm-hmm. knows this, 95% of actors not actors, but roles for characters with disabilities are casted by able-bodied individuals. And when you get down to it, only 2% of those with disabilities are cast in roles. Tell me your feelings about underrepresentation and what you would like to see changed in order to really not talk about diversity and inclusion. That's all nice, but I'm very strategic in my work. What would you like to see done right now?
Well, you know, I think obviously, you know, it's always one of those things where you have to be the change you want to see. Uh-huh. And obviously, Stephen, I've been knowing you for these last 6 years, and I know that those stats about actors who are disabled are true. And right. I think you have to, you know, we have to continue to have those conversations uh-huh. with our the people who run the studios. Also with our independent producers and make them become more sensitive to the fact that if we can have a disabled actor that can do the work, then that actor should be given the job.
Right.
Because you know, I mean, you know, if you're going to have somebody who's disabled do that job and have that disability, they actually have to be able to perform. So that's the worry of a producer. Exactly. That if you actually get an actual disabled person, they're not going to be able to do the job.
Exactly.
But we have to dispel that, actually being able to put people in front of them who could actually do the job, who could actually write a script, who could actually be behind the scenes, you know, pulling cords and doing different things. Because just because someone's disabled doesn't mean that they don't have the ability and that they aren't able to do it. So I just think we have to start having these real serious conversations with the folks at the top and talk about these things and say, let's make a roadway. Let's build a real roadway instead of kind of talking around it. Let's really talk about it in a substantive way.
Exactly. As you well know, I've been not an advocate or activist. I've had a business perspective all these years because of my late parents, who never treated me as a pity project. They treated me like my other two siblings. And I think that has made me stronger to get things done correctly. So with that, I want to ask Viola and yourself, what characters have you played that you feel really sent a good message about the issues that we face and what we need to do to effect change and perceptions of people that are underrepresented?
Well, that would have to be How to Get Away with Murder and Shondaland. That role absolutely defined my career. Right. Only because of the role that a woman who looked like me would not necessarily be considered for that role. She was described as sexual. She was described as complicated. She's a leading lady on network television. Right. You know, usually those women are 5'2", they're blonde, they're petite.
Right.
And because those roles are not usually cast with an actress who looks like me, there was a part of me that didn't believe it too. And I think that's a sad part. Until I accepted it, and I had to believe it, okay? Because I had to play her and I had to make the audience buy it. Right. So for me, it was a huge growth experience for Viola, the person, the woman, the woman of color, the dark-skinned woman of color with thick lips and wide nose. Right. But it was also, it helped redefine, in my opinion, how you saw a leading lady. But Shondaland in and of itself really cares about the broad spectrum of humanity.
Yes.
We have had disabled actors. Yes. We have had the LGBTQ community represented. But that's because we care. Uh-huh. We do want the change. But a lot of people don't care. They keep the status quo alive out of fear, you know? Right. But I got into acting because, for me, I got into acting because I feel what acting does is it makes people feel less alone when you look at characters. I don't want characters that necessarily don't look like me or don't look like the world that I live in. So I would have to say How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah. I have to say that too, because Fences was a beautiful movie. Obviously, working with Denzel was especially rewarding for you professionally and personally. But How to Get Away with Murder touched on many quote-unquote taboo subjects that really need to be represented in a very educational way. And it's sort of sad to see that end, because the actress that portrayed Tegan, I think, really represented the strength of women of color that actually doesn't get told hardly ever on TV. And obviously, the elder storyline with Cicely Tyson was especially important, because we forget about our elders on TV. Mm-hmm. So I have to say, the work that Pete Nowak did with you was awesome. I know my friend Toby Forrest was on the show this season in a wheelchair. And it was interesting that Pete wrote about a very internally upset character with a disability. How did you feel about that episode? I know you can't really talk about what ifs, but do you think our continuance of highlighting people with disabilities in a negative type of theme, do you think that needs to change as far as storyline?
Well, I'm going to remember this episode, and what I loved about it is that he was complicated. I love the fact that he was flawed. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that they sort of didn't make him, representative of something so romanticized, and didn't deal with him as a man. And there was even a scene where I confronted him and basically said, "You're a jerk."
Yeah.
You know, you're a jerk. I don't care.
The last scene was really, really, it was really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Stephen, that goes to, you know, someone being human, whether they're disabled or not, or able-bodied person.
Right.
Exploring the humanity in all characters, whether they're disabled or whatever. And it was really great to have a creator like Pete Norwalk and Shondaland have a character like that who's just a human being, but he's complicated. Right. And got all the same worries and same things that able-bodied people have.
Absolutely.
So those are the kinds of folks you want to work with. Those are, you want to have those kind of conversations around having characters with disabilities, so we can see more of those characters in the straightforward narratives. And so I think we just have to kind of, you know, keep pushing toward the folks who are opening up things, and then try to find to put those characters on screen in a real positive light.
Yes,
exactly. And you know, Julius, you know me. I'm not an activist for disability. I'm sort of the pro business inclusionist, to where if it makes sense, do it. The person doesn't have to be a lead or a supporting actor. It could just be infused if it makes creative sense. And that's what I like about you and Viola, is because you always keep an eye out for communities that need to be highlighted in a very creative fashion. So I'm all about the business of the business and making it more accessible. So with that, I wanted to ask in closing, what are you two, what are some of the projects that you could talk about that you have coming up at Juvie Productions?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of stuff. We're working with a lot of top tier acting talent, and we're developing starring vehicles for them. Right now, we're working with Laverne Cox. We're working with Chloe Bennett. We're working with Kiki Palmer. You know, we're putting women of color front and center. We want them to be number one on the call sheet. And right. And we're also working out animated things that we have in development that we're excited to talk about that we're going to take out later this year. And, you know, we have some things set up already. We have a series order at for a show called First Ladies. That's the First Ladies of the
right.
White House.
Right.
First season picks Betty Ford, Eleanor Roosevelt, and Michelle Obama. And yours truly is going to be playing. So we're really excited. We're doing that with Lionsgate and Showtime. And then we have, you know, we have things set up at Amazon. Show called Wild Seed. We have Black Don't Crack set up at ABC. Right. House of Chow at HBO, and then Fast Color, another show about three African American women of different generations. We have that set up at Amazon as well. So we're having a lot of real energy moving forward with right. women of color in the center of these narratives, and we're just really feeling great about it. And yeah. then on the film side, we. You know, Troop Zero did like incredible. I don't know if you right. got to see Troop Zero, but all of you out there, if you haven't seen Troop Zero, go see Troop Zero on right. Amazon Prime, right? Mm-hmm. It is amazing. It was wonderful. And so, you know, that was one. And then we did a documentary this past year at Sundance called Giving Voice.
Uh-huh.
And we're really excited about that. It's going to land somewhere soon. I can't let the cat out of the bag, but
no,
it's about the August Wilson right. and it depicts six young actors who go through the process. But it was the audience favorite at Sundance this past year, and we're really excited for where it's going to find its new home. And then, you know, we have Terry McMillan's latest book, I Almost Forgot About You, set up at Universal. And right. then we have Jordan set up at Fox Searchlight, and Lynn Nottage is our writer for that. And, you know, in the immersive and interactive side, we're film, TV, and immersive and interactive. So on the immersive side, you know, we're trying to merge these future digital worlds and media escapes that reflect diversity and inclusion, you know, in our physical reality.
Right.
And, you know, we're creating immersive and interactive experience in video games for console and mobile. And right now we have an installation of the March on Washington in 1963. Pre-COVID, it opened at the DeSabo Museum in Chicago and was doing quite well. It was sold out for the first 3-4 weeks. And then COVID came and shut it down. It takes you back to the March on Washington in 1963. So that's just a little bit of what we got going on. We got so much, I could probably talk another hour.
I know. Well, 1963 is my birth year. So anything about 63 and 68, as you well remember, the civil rights era.
That's right.
And then after the civil rights era, I got involved with the ADA, which launched me into political life. But thank God that's over with. But here in Hollywood, it's all about, for me, truth, authenticity, and representation. And so I want to thank you both as dear friends for taking the time out today just to have a laid-back talk about where we are and where we need to go. And I love you both. And say hi.
Thank you.
Say hi to Genesis. And, and just have a great week. And
you too.
Know that you are both loved and respected.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen. All this is really important. It's so great to have the conversation with you today. Uh-huh. And congratulations on your show and on
congratulations.
Network. Thank you, Viola. And I wish you both well during this crazy time. So thank you both.
Welcome.
George?
Stephen Tingus, what an inspiration. You know, we've all heard the saying, we all stand on the shoulders of giants. I would be remiss if we didn't mention our late chairman, former Congressman Lewis Stokes, today. I know he had a contagious smile, and he was a statesman. And IdeaGen stands on those shoulders of folks like him who helped us create IdeaGen to begin with. And this IdeaGen Hollywood launch is about the importance of all the issues you just discussed and helping to achieve these global goals, including equity by 2030, so that the world can be a better place. Thank you, Julius. Thank you, Viola. Stephen Tingus, guest host, IdeaGen TV, Changing the World, presented globally by Microsoft. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.